This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Texas Church Massacre. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Monday, November 6th. Glad you could be with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
More than two dozen people have been killed after a gunman opened fire at a church in a small town outside San Antonio. We'll have a profile of the suspect.
President Trump is reacting to the murderous rampage. Hear how he responded during the opening leg of his trip to Asia.
Kentucky Senator Rand Paul suffered five fractured ribs after authorities say his neighbor attacked him at his home in Bowling Green.
And in addition to lawsuits, the other ways sexual harassment on the job can cost your company a lot of money.
Lawsuits can cost your company a ton of money. We've seen many, many cases of this in the past. But what I looked at is there's a lot of other more subtle ways that sexual harassment costs companies money. I mean, this is impacting your bottom line. So it seems like a really good reason, along with many, many other good reasons, to prevent this.
Katie Hill at moneyish.com on the cascading ramifications of sexual harassment at work. She's here in about 20 minutes. A young Texas man wearing a ballistic vest opened fire inside a church outside of San Antonio, leaving at least 26 people dead and 20 others wounded. It happened yesterday at First Baptist Church in the small town of Sutherland Springs, about 35 miles southeast of San Antonio. The shooter, identified as 26-year-old Devin Kelly of nearby New Braunfels, later was found dead in his car. It's not clear if he died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound or was killed by someone else. The gunman fled in a vehicle and died following a pursuit. It's believed that a local resident engaged Mr. Kelly, even pursuing him in his own vehicle. Mr. Kelly's vehicle crashed and he was found dead. Here's Texas Governor Greg Abbott.
One thing that is very important for everybody affected by this, whether you're a family member or non-family member, is that you avail yourself of counseling resources that will be made readily available in abundance.
Mr. Kelly, by the way, served in the U.S. Air Force, but was court-martialed in 2012 for two counts of assault on his spouse and on their child. He was given a bad conduct discharge and even confined for a year. Deeper look at the gunman now from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Devin Kelly served in the U.S. Air Force at Holloman Air Force Base in New Mexico from 2010 until his discharge in 2014. This past summer, Fox News says he worked as a security guard for a Texas water park. He was dressed in black tactical gear when he arrived at a Valero gas station near the church. Officials said he crossed the street to the church and began firing a Ruger AR assault-type rifle. Investigators are looking into recent Facebook posts, one in particular that showed what appeared to be a semi-automatic weapon. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. It's 9 minutes now after the hour. This question always surfaces, can these types of attacks be prevented? If not, what else can be done? Insight now from Dr. Alex Del Carmen, who heads up the School of Criminology, Criminal Justice, and Strategic Studies at Tarleton State University in Fort Worth, Texas. Alex, can these types of shootings be prevented?
You know, it's very hard to do that. I mean, especially in a small town where, you know, the most that happens is that, you know, somebody gets drunk and they may end up arresting him or her over the weekend. And then you've got a bad guy that basically parks his car at a gas station, walks across the gas station with a rifle, and begins to assault that innocent people that are doing nothing more than getting together on a Sunday to pray. I mean, this is as horrific as it comes, and it is incredibly unpredictable. I mean, how can you know, for law enforcement, how can they be at every possible instance where bad guys are going to attack innocent people? So, you know, it's an impossibility.
Boy, oh boy. The best you can do, I guess, is figure out how to best to respond. I mean, is that what we're left with, a reactionary mode?
That's exactly right, and that's what I was going to say next, which is the fact that at this point, you know, what we have left to do is essentially when this happens and that first 911 call comes in, you know, what do you do in order to address it? You know, how do you identify the suspect? You know, where do you go? You know, what kind of connections does this person have with, you know, or not, you know, with outside sources? Who helped him out? Does he have an ideological component attached to this? You know, where did he receive military training, if any? And so those are the questions that law enforcement, you know, I really train them to kind of think through in the process of something like this so that we can then hopefully know more about bad people and be able to prevent it at some point.
Is there something different in a law or regulation that could prevent something like this? I understand the argument that killers don't follow gun laws. I get that. Is there something different that could be done?
You know, I heard, you know, as soon as the event took place, of course, you know, all sorts of social media, you know, components began to emerge. But, you know, we heard the governor of Texas that basically said that began to describe the sequence of events. And one of the things that he said was, and I don't know that people are paying attention to this part, which is when the bad guy is walking out of the church with his rifle in his hand, there was a citizen with a rifle at hand that began to shoot at the bad guy. And so we don't know at this point whether the suspect actually died as a result of a wound created or caused by the citizen, or in fact if he committed suicide. But what we do know is that there was a hero at the, you know, as this bad guy was exiting the church, that actually took it upon himself to defend, you know, the area and perhaps other innocent lives from dying. So the argument could be made that although some people I know are quick to point fingers and say, you know, let's reduce guns, let's do this, let's do that, you know, had we, you know, negated the ability for this law-abiding citizen to have a weapon, perhaps this could have been worse than what it was, as horrific as it was.
Mm. We're speaking with Dr. Alex Del Carmen. He heads up the School of Criminology, Criminal Justice, and Strategic Studies at Tarleton State University in Fort Worth, Texas. We're talking about the church shooting in South Texas. This is slightly off subject, but I'm talking out loud. Do you think that we need a speech from, say, the president, some powerful leader, to address this and say enough is enough? Would that matter? You must deal with leadership in some of these programs you put together.
Yeah, I mean, it obviously matters, you know, but what matters more than a speech is the actions that come behind it, you know. I mean, when things like these happen, you know, all across the United States, people rally behind law enforcement, as they should, and they support our local law enforcement community. But at the end of the day, the everyday police officer feels isolated. They feel like they're not liked. They're not engaged by the community anymore. And so it would be nice to have some acknowledgement, you know, throughout the country about the fact that law enforcement continued to put their lives on the line, they continued to protect innocent people, and they continued to try to prevent these attacks from taking place. And as I've said before in the show, you know, the bad guys, they only need to get it right one time out of 10 or 15 attempts.
Yeah.
But for law enforcement, they have to get it right all the time.
Thanks, Alex. Dr. Alex Del Carmen from the School of Criminology, Criminal Justice, and Strategic Studies at Tarleton State University. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. President Trump said mental health, not guns, is to blame for the church shooting massacre. The president, at the beginning of a long trip to Asia, reacted during remarks at a joint press conference with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe.
Mental health is your problem here. This was based on preliminary reports, very deranged individual.
Mr. Trump went on to say that it's a little bit soon to be talking about guns and suggested that the death toll could have been higher had it not been for another armed individual who opened fire on the assailant.
To the wounded and the families of the victims, all of America is praying for you, supporting you, and grieving alongside of you.
Mr. Trump earlier called the shooting an act of evil after a gunman stormed the church. He pledged his full support to the state of Texas and local authorities and praised the FBI and first responders. It is 20 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
A man dressed in black tactical-style gear and armed with an assault rifle opened fire inside a church in a small South Texas community, killing 26 people and wounding about 20 others. The dead ranged in age from 5 to 72 and included 8 members of one family. The shooter, identified as Devin Kelly, served in the Air Force but was court-martialed and discharged for bad conduct. Freeman Martin, regional commander of the Texas Department of Public Safety, says Kelly also died.
At this time, we don't know if it was a self-inflicted gunshot wound or if he was shot by our local resident who engaged him in gunfire. We know he's deceased in the vehicle.
The massacre at the First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs was called the biggest mass shooting in state Texas history. President Trump began his second day in Japan by pushing for stronger, more equitable economic ties between the allies.
We're making tremendous progress, I believe, on trade in particular, bringing the deficits down and having a really fair and equal trade.
But Trump added that he wants to reshape the trade relationship between the two countries. He says for decades, Japan has been winning while the U.S. has suffered massive trade deficits. Newly leaked documents show Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross, the Trump administration's point man on trade and manufacturing policy, has a stake in a company that does business with a gas producer partly owned by the son-in-law of Russian President Vladimir Putin. The news likely to add to the questions about ties between Russia and the Trump administration. Senator Rand Paul's return to Washington may be delayed after he suffered 5 broken ribs during an assault at his Kentucky home. Paul's 59-year-old neighbor has been charged with assault in connection with the Friday incident. According to an arrest warrant, the neighbor came onto Paul's property in a gated community and tackled him from behind. It's not clear what motivated the altercation.
We're the same, you and I. Just a couple of hot-headed fools.
Yeah, same. Hulk like fire, Thor like water.
Thor Ragnarok thundered into theaters with a $121 million opening this weekend, breathing some life into a box office market reeling from its worst October in a decade. It's the 17th consecutive movie from Disney's Marvel Studios to open at number one.
That's impressive. Thank you, Jen. 22 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The best place to start or grow your business is at michiganbusiness.org. Contact them today. Sexual harassment can cost companies big, and not just from lawsuits. Katie Hill at moneyish.com says more companies need to say hashtag me too when it comes to preventing sexual harassment. She's here to explain why. Katie, how else can this be costly?
One of the big ones that they might not think of is employee turnover. So in a workplace culture like this, people just leave. If they don't feel like management's doing something about it, if they feel like it's running rampant, they leave. The cost of employee turnover is really high. There was a big study out showing that the median cost of turnover was 21% of an employee's annual salary.
Wow.
And I had this sexual harassment expert talk to me about how this kind of turnover for issues like this, it's contagious. People start leaving, everybody else is leaving.
Wow.
I mean, we're talking about, so 21%, right? We're talking about someone earning $75,000 a year. That could cost you $15,000 for that employee alone to recruit new people and do all of that stuff. So this cost could be astronomical. It makes me think, you know, the courses to teach against sexual harassment, they don't often cost that much for a company, and that's somewhere to start.
I've had to sit through those videos before just as part of, like, the hiring process. You know,
right.
I that's somebody's attempt just to, boy, prevent it at all, just to head it off. But I don't know. I guess not enough companies do it.
Yeah, and I mean, some states require it, some don't. And also, you know, it depends on the quality of the video. Like, a lot of times you're fast-forwarding, you know, you're like, this isn't useful. I know all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes it's better to have, you know, have a speaker come in and get people in the room and really show them, like, okay, this is what this means. And then the other thing that companies don't do enough of is you obviously need to know what sexual harassment is, but you need to create a culture where people feel like they can report it.
Yeah,
it's one
yeah.
thing to have people watch a video. It's another thing to have people feel like this is a company that cares. We want you to report incidents. And that's something I think a lot of companies don't do, is create that culture. And that's a big thing.
Wow. We're speaking with Katie Hill, editor at moneyish.com. We're talking about sexual harassment in the workplace and how it doesn't just cost you if your company is sued. She mentioned employee turnover. Those costs can be high, lower productivity. What else made the list?
VC funding issues, which is relevant for startups, but I thought this was super interesting. This is coming from a guy who represents companies who deal facing sexual harassment suits. But he said because of all the publicity around high-profile cases, this potential for lawsuits, that VC firms are going to start in the diligence process looking into whether a company faces these issues, because they do not want to put a bunch of money into a company that's then going to have a big sexual harassment lawsuit, or going to be, or a company that's going to be losing employees because of these kinds of issues. They're going to, you know, maybe give less money or maybe give no money. And they're going to start finding this out in the diligence process. It's probably going to become something they look at.
Yeah. Boy, and not just losing employees, but eventually this could be losing customers, as you point out.
Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting example with Uber. While it's hard to say exact cause and effect, when you looked at, you know, after Susan Fowler wrote the blog post alleging sexual harassment at Uber, USA Today did a big study looking at market share of Uber versus Lyft, and Uber lost market share for a while after that, while Lyft saw some rise. I mean, it's hard to say cause and effect, but a lot of people think it might have been because there was workplace issues, including sexual harassment going on there, and people thought, I don't want to support that company.
Yeah, thanks, Katie. It's Katie Hill, editor at moneyish.com. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Hey, the holidays are fast approaching. Order gifts for everyone on your list with the click of a mouse. Let me tell you about Omaha Steaks and how for only $49.99, you can get the family gift pack when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter my code DEAL in the search bar. That's 75% off. Omaha Steaks offers the most flavorful, tender-aged beef, aged for 21 days to unlock the full flavors of the cuts, hand-trimmed and vacuum-sealed. They also have veggies, desserts, appetizers, fresh seafood, and so much more. Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving an exclusive savings for our listeners. Listen to everything that you'll get for less than $50. Two filet mignons, two top sirloins, two boneless pork chops, four boneless chicken breasts, four kielbasa sausages, four burgers, four potatoes au gratin, four caramel apple tartlets, one Omaha Steak seasoning packet, plus four additional kielbasa sausages free. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter my code DEAL in the search bar, and get a 75% savings. It's the gift guaranteed to be a hit.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Monday, November 6th. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines: at least 26 dead and 20 injured at a church shooting outside San Antonio. Trump calls North Korea a threat to the civilized world during a visit to Japan. Anti-corruption crackdown in Saudi Arabia ensnares Prince Alwaleed bin Talal, known as the Arabian Warren Buffett. Dodgers broadcaster Vin Scully says he'll never watch another NFL game in response to the anthem kneeling. And Shalane Flanagan of Colorado, first American woman to win the New York City Marathon in 40 years. The fanfare surrounding the House GOP tax plan is masking a brewing storm in the other chamber. Senate Republicans will have to sway a host of GOP swing votes as they try to jam through their own tax overhaul with almost no margin for error. Here are a look at some of the people hurdles from Sung Min Kim, congressional reporter at Politico. Sung Min, what have you found?
So if you remember the dynamics that we saw during the failed health care fight back over the summer, it's kind of the similar dynamics here at play in the tax reform fight. Democrats are getting courted somewhat, but let's assume that Senate Republicans will have to marshal all the votes to pass their tax reform package on their own. That means they can lose only two votes, which means every demand from about a circle of a dozen senators really will matter at the end of the day. So you're going to have conservative senators saying this package doesn't go far enough. You're going to have moderate senators who say, you know, let's not tilt this towards the mega rich. You're also going to have a group of deficit hawks who are going to be raising a lot of concerns about the red ink on this bill. So it's a major headache for Mitch McConnell. It's a big task for him ahead, and we'll see how he navigates these landmines.
Wow. All right. So you kind of put them into small groups here, like including the deficit hawks. You mentioned Corker from Tennessee and then McCain and Flake from Arizona. How about that group?
So those are, it's a quiet but a growing list of concerns from the so-called deficit hawks. Obviously, Bob Corker, who is retiring after this Congress, has been the loudest among these people, saying he will not vote for legislation that increases the deficit by even a penny. But you're starting to hear this concern come from a lot of other, or some other Senate Republicans as well. Jeff Jeff Flake of Arizona, who, like Bob Corker, is freshly freed from these re-election concerns, has been increasingly speaking out about this issue. He actually delivered a floor speech raising concerns about the deficit impact of any tax legislation. John McCain voted against the Bush tax cuts in 2001 and 2003, partly because of their impact on the deficit. And I didn't mention this in the story, but Senator Todd Young, a freshman from Indiana, has talked about this concern as well. So that's going to be a big problem for Mitch McConnell, especially if this tax reform package dwindles down into something that is perhaps just a tax cuts package.
Well, we're speaking with Sungmin Kim, congressional reporter at Politico. Her piece is called "Senate Littered with Tax Reform Landmines." All right, how about the two you point out as moderates here? Susan Collins from Maine, Lisa Murkowski from Alaska.
So these two Republican women, these two moderate women, have been very powerful in other fights already this year. We saw their impact on the Obamacare repeal debate. But remember, they both teamed up to oppose Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, as well as support funding for Planned Parenthood, which most other Senate Republicans support dumping. And they could be equally influential in the coming tax fight. Now, Lisa Murkowski has been a little bit more quiet on the tax front. She has been focusing on other issues, other energy-related issues, and hasn't really made vocal her concerns on the tax package just yet. But Susan Collins has laid out a litany of concerns, a litany of priorities. Some of them, the House Republicans have already met. She said she wants to keep the tax rate for the top earners. The House Republicans have done that in their package. But she also sees no need to get rid of the estate tax. And the House Republican package, we don't know what the Senate package will look like, but at least the House Republican package phases that tax out eventually. So is that enough for her? Is that enough for Senator Collins to be a no on this package as she was with health care? Again, it's too early to tell, but she's going to be someone that leadership will be closely watching.
You referenced before, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, who will feel that this doesn't go far enough. How about the group you call the demanding conservatives, Lee, Cotton, and Cruz?
Exactly. So these are a smaller circle of conservatives that leadership always has to watch. First of all, leadership already kind of expects Senator Rand Paul to be a no at this point, and you kind of have to persuade him towards a yes. A lot of his asks are something that aren't even on the table at this point, such as paying for tax cuts with spending cuts. That's not even really in the conversation at this point. But these other conservatives, let's take Mike Lee, for example. He does frequently push leadership in his own fashion. His top priority so far has been expansion of the child tax credit, which he has teamed up with Senator Marco Rubio on. It's a major priority of Ivanka Trump, the president's daughter. Senator Lee and Rubio said in a statement yesterday that the child tax care credit expansion in the House bill does not go far enough. They expect the Senate legislation to be more generous in expanding that tax credit. But that's another problem for the tax writers. They will have to figure out a way to pay for it.
Congressional reporter Sungmin Kim from Politico. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you could be with us. Holiday travelers are still finding their beach after three major hurricanes this fall. Bookings are surging to unscathed Caribbean islands for Thanksgiving and Christmas, as well as to Hawaii and other warm weather destinations. More from Wall Street Journal travel columnist Scott McCartney. Scott, time to start circling dates?
Well, I think it is time to start circling dates on the calendar. Travel companies say buying for Thanksgiving and Christmas really picks up right after Halloween. And so now's the time. You have a little bit of time before Thanksgiving before prices start spiking, at least by historical patterns, and a couple weeks to plan Christmas before the fares start really jacking up.
All right. So if you're Midwest or an East Coaster, you might be thinking Caribbean. But what about the hurricanes factor in this?
Yeah, I think they factor in greatly. But it's really interesting. There was a lot of concern that people would avoid the Caribbean this year because of storm damage. And what's happening is certainly certain islands are being avoided. Resorts are closed in some cases for a year to make repairs. Tickets for Puerto Rico obviously way down. But for other areas that survived relatively intact, there's been a surge of buying. And so I think the reality is people want to go to the beach, and they're going to find a beach that's open.
Wow. Okay, so we could see an overabundance of people, I guess, at some of those other spots, since it won't be spread out as much.
Yeah, I think so. We looked at tickets that have been already purchased for both Thanksgiving and holiday and Christmas travel periods. And the number of tickets purchased in the U.S. to go to Barbados, for example, is up 37%. The average ticket price is up 22%. You know, people have already jumped on this. The Cayman Islands, we saw ticket sales up 19%. Interestingly, fares were down 3% on average so far this year, but increases for the Bahamas, for Jamaica, for Aruba, for St. Lucia, and Mexico also up, and Hawaii up. So I think, you know, the beach traffic is sort of redistributing. Tickets for St. Martin down 31%, the U.S. Virgin Islands down 33%. Of the three islands in the U.S. Virgin Islands, St. Croix still has a lot of resorts that are reopening, but St. Thomas and St. John, particularly St. Thomas, most all the resorts are going to be closed potentially for most of 2018.
Wow. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal travel columnist Scott McCartney. His piece is called What You Need to Know for Winter Holiday Travel. What else to keep in mind here as we look at dates and locations?
If you want to go, well, first of all, overall, I think, you know, prices are going to be up on average slightly. There's a lot of discount airline competition that has really kept prices in check. Travel will be up in the sort of 3-4% range on average. I think what you're going to see is firm pricing. There aren't going to be great bargains. There aren't going to be huge increases unless you're picking particularly popular beach destinations.
Thanks, Scott. Wall Street Journal travel columnist Scott McCartney. It is 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today.
You want a basketball game, but considering everything that's going on today, it's pretty meaningless. When you think about the tragedy that those families are suffering, it's just inconceivable and impossible to put your head around.
Putting things in perspective is San Antonio Spurs basketball coach Greg Popovich talking about the church shooting in South Texas outside of San Antonio. Jennifer has more now. It is 9 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Kashenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the man authorities have identified as the gunman in a mass shooting at a Texas church was discharged from the Air Force for allegedly assaulting his spouse and child and served 12 months confinement after a 2012 court-martial. Kelly entered the First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, a small town about 30 miles east of San Antonio, and used an assault rifle to shoot congregants. This resident was driving through town when he heard the shots.
He had shot, I almost say 15, 20 rounds, because I was counting, and then it quit, and then it started again. That's what I told my wife, call the law, it's somebody shooting.
Kelly fled the church, was chased by a citizen with a gun, and later found dead in his vehicle. It's unclear whether he killed himself or was killed by someone else. President Trump reacted to the shooting during a news conference in Tokyo with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe.
This isn't a guns situation. I mean, we could go into it, but it's a little bit soon to go into it.
Trump added that mental health was the problem and that the shooter was a very deranged individual. At the same news conference, Trump declared that North Korea is a threat to the civilized world. He says the U.S. will not stand for Pyongyang menacing America or its allies. Trump did not rule out military action and called on dictator Kim Jong-un to cease weapons testing. Former Democratic National Committee Chair Donna Brazile is calling out critics of her new book. She appeared yesterday on ABC.
Those who are telling me to shut up, they told Hillary that a couple of months ago. You know what I tell them? Go to hell.
Brazile claims in her book that she considered replacing Hillary Clinton with then-Vice President Joe Biden as the party's nominee mere weeks before Election Day. A bidding war resulted in a $700,000 price tag for a Prince guitar, the highest price ever paid for one of the late icon's guitars. The Blue Teal Cloud guitar went far above the $60,000 to $80,000 expected at the Saturday auction. A Michael Jackson rhinestone glove sold for $102,000, while a Nehru shirt worn by Jimi Hendrix sold for $106,000.
Well, it was just a collection of stuff from musical geniuses.
Yeah, there's a whole lot more than that, too.
Wow. Thank you, Jen. It is 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. One of the men who said he helped track down the Texas church gunman yesterday is being hailed a hero for potentially preventing more bloodshed after the deadly shooting. Johnny Langendorf told Fox San Antonio that he decided to track down the killer after seeing the gunman exchanging fire with a member of the community. Following a brief chase, the two caught up with the gunman.
We were doing about 95 down 539, going around traffic and everything. And eventually he came to kind of a slowdown, and after that, we got within just a few feet of him, and then he got off the road.
Amazing how calm he was, right? The mass shooting unfolded around 11:30 at First Baptist Church of Sutherland Springs, which is about 30 miles southeast of San Antonio. At least 26 people killed and 20 wounded, as we've been talking about this morning. Mr. Langendorf said he was not aware at the time of the chase that the shooter had additional weapons in his vehicle and he might have prevented more deaths. Police, he said, arrived within 5 to 7 minutes to the location where the shooter stopped. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.